This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Please prepare yourself for an outstanding radio experience. The Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, the Commissioner of Dirt, providing you insightful information for these many decades in the Umpqua Valley.
Gosh, how much do I owe you for that introduction, for goodness sakes?
I have my scripting people working around the clock.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, if I could live up to 10% of that, I'd be famous, I think. But we're going to talk about gardening things, and there's always an opportunity to call in here if you have a gardening question. I've already been asked one question since I entered the building on how to amend soil. But the number is 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here, ask your question. I'll give you an answer, and we can chat, and then you can try what I told you and be successful. How's that?
All right. How was Mother's Day?
Oh, dear God. I am so happy it's done. I am so happy. It was Mother's Day week. And, and you know, Monday's pretty busy. Tuesday's a little bit busier. Wednesday gets a little wild. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are insanity. I made 5 trips to Camas Valley loaded with flowers on each trip. On a different road that I'd never been before. I mean, I've done that many times, but I went to ends of roads that I didn't know existed, and everybody was wonderful. They were smiling. They were thankful. They, you know, it was great. But I got tired. I'd go and I'd deliver a load of flowers and go in these different directions. I'd get back to the nursery and say, oh, we got another load for Camas Valley. And I'd have to load those up and go right back to Camas Valley. So I did that four trips or 5. I can't recall exactly. But it was a madhouse, and it was great. Wonderful. People were in buying trees and shrubs and flowers and bouquets, and it was amazing.
I was
truly amazing.
I was out walking on Saturday and ran across your younger brother.
Joel.
Yeah, who was a little baffled because, oddly enough, when I started my walk from this building, he just happened to be driving by. I saw it was one of your rigs. I could tell it wasn't you, but I didn't know who it was. Yeah. Well, so sometime later, I'm in the west end of Hewcrest. And he's looking like, how did you get over here? Well, I walked. So I talked to him for a little bit, but he mentioned that you were very busy out delivering.
Yes, I was out delivering. And did he have a wintergreen truck?
He did.
Yeah, well, that's because his truck broke down and he borrowed my wintergreen truck. I said, yeah, just drive it all over the country. Who cares?
So what were you driving?
My little truck that I got last November.
Okay.
My go to see people truck, because it gets 20 some odd miles to the gallon. And the big white one gets between 12 and 14. You know.
I didn't know you had 2.
Well, it's a recent addition to the fleet. Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, I know it's been a busy time, and it's still, I'm sure, staying very busy with more people staying at home and looking at yards that need attention.
Oh gosh, yeah. You know, I'm getting so many calls for bids and consultations. And I've got at least two jobs scheduled for September and one already scheduled for October at this point.
Wow.
And I'm racing as fast as we can, 6 days a week, to try to catch up. And I'm spinning my wheels fast, not getting much done. So at any rate, Mother's Day was great. And all you guys and gals out there who came to our nursery and ordered flowers, and I hope they were wonderful. I know that my people were wonderful. And there was 3 ladies working many, many hours a day, very, very quickly, putting all those bouquets together. And that doesn't count, you know, the stuff that comes over our fax machine and email stuff. And, you know, and that's, oh, gee whiz. I'm glad it only comes once a year.
Yeah, but I think you were probably happy that it was there.
Oh, yeah, definitely happy. But, I mean, it gets to be tiresome, very tiresome. Driving all over the place and getting lost and calling and saying,
you know, you should use the GPS on your phone.
Oh, my flip phone got one of them? Yeah, that's good.
Oh, boy.
I know most of the places anymore. But anyway, today I want to talk about container gardening because it's easy, okay? It's easy because there's not as much work involved as regular gardening, but container gardening is fun. And it seems to be getting more popular each year. More and more people are, planting smaller gardens, but increasing the plant material within those smaller gardens because you don't have to spread those tomato plants 3 feet apart. You can put them pretty close together. You can put them a foot apart. They're copacetic with one another. They like one another. And when they flower, if you have two different types of tomatoes, they cross-pollinate, and then you get a third kind of tomato because you planted them so close together. So that's good. But container gardening can be a container like a big one. One of those half wine barrel things, or an upright kind of a table, a bench box that you can stand at and don't have to kneel down. And you know, you see them in different places at different box stores and around. And they might be, 6 feet long, 5 feet long, and 2 feet wide, and they got sturdy legs. And you put them right on the ground at waist level, fill them up with good soil, and fill them up with good plants and gardening vegetable type things, or flowers, or a mix of those, both of those. And your gardening gets very, very simple, very, very easy. And it beats getting down on your hands and knees and pulling weeds or spraying and all that kind of stuff. So, it's kind of a relief to folks that probably had big gardens over the years when they were young, and they had lots of energy. And then people naturally get older and they want to slow down a little bit. And so container gardening is good. And that's, and it's not just vegetables, it's flowers, it's trees, it's all kinds of stuff. But it's a lot easier to have pots of flowers and vegetables and to decorate your yard or your patio or your front porch than spending a lot of time working in a yard full of plants. And if you got the energy and you got the know-how, hey, there's nothing wrong with a yard full of plants. It looks good, and that's what we do, and that's what my work is. And unfortunately, that's what my home is like, because we after working all day, we usually go home and do something as well almost every night, except when it's raining or snowing. And I mean winter-type rain, not this little drizzle stuff we've had here the last few days. But as more and more folks also are living in, say, apartments and condos, and younger folks that in their 20s just starting out, that's where they may start out. But they want to grow things. they want to have some vegetables. They want to have some pretties on their little deck or on their front porch or in a communal backyard or whatever. But they're doing the flower pots. They're doing the container gardening kind of thing. And any container, any kind of container can be used. You don't have to go to a box store and buy something, or a nursery and buy a big fancy pot, unless you're into big fancy pots. But if you want to just get started, any kind of container can be used, like from a small pot to an old wheelbarrow. I've seen, it's amazing how many old wheelbarrows I've seen around Douglas County that are filled with soil and plants and look really cool, and they're in full bloom, and you can get a half a dozen plants in a small wheelbarrow, and it looks like a regular garden. It's good stuff. And like an old style milk can, those metal milk cans that were, 2 feet tall, maybe, or 2.5 feet tall, and used to deliver milk in them years and years ago. Well, you can use that as a very unique planter. put a lot of holes in the bottom and the sides so it drains well, but fill it up with really good soil and throw a hanging basket type plant in there, like an ivy geranium or a fuchsia or anything else you have that you want. And it looks good. It's decorative. It's old. It's ancient. It's antique, whatever. And it's sitting there on your front step, and it has a beautiful plant in it. And it's different, and people like to be different with these kinds of things. And You can even put vegetables in them, for crying out loud. But you know what? What's really cool, you can go to these garage sales and look around. And a lot of the garage sales, they got old containers, old pots, old redwood tubs, things like that, that they no longer use. You can get another 5 years out of them or another 6 years and, replant them, reuse them. They're easy. And as long as you don't get a giant pot, you can actually pick them up and move them around and put them in the places that you want, switch them around, do whatever you want. And it's constant redecorating of your garden things. So, but if you want a planter or a pot, container, whatever you want to call it, that's new and showy and, really could be plastic, it could be ceramic, it could be, concrete, whatever. There are basically hundreds of styles of containers anymore out there on the market. Go to any of the big box stores or even the small places, nurseries and things like that, and they'll have all sorts of different pots there. You can have a lot of times people come in and say, do you have any used tree pots? They're the big black plastic ones, and I've got so many of them, I maybe charge a buck for them or something like that. Depends on the size. For a really huge one, it might be $5, where they retail at $20 or $25. $5, okay, it's used, what the heck. And it's amazing how many plants you can put in there, and it doesn't look bad. It's black, it's strong, it never breaks unless you run over it with a Mack truck. But it's good for many, many, many years, because we reuse them all the time. We've been in the recycling business before recycling was invented, for crying out loud. So that's why we save all this stuff. We don't throw, unfortunately, I don't throw anything away, and I find a use for it somewhere down the road. So, like I say, though, but if you want a fancy planter, you want something really nice, and it's really showy, and it's going to be at your front entry or on your back patio that you just got built, etc., go to one of the bigger box stores where they got a huge selection. Our nursery isn't big enough to carry that kind of selection. We got a few of the nice ones, but for the most part, we can't compete with the box stores price-wise or selection-wise or style-wise, because they'll have hundreds where we have 10 or 15, maybe, at any one time. But it's a style of gardening, like I say, that's easy, it's quick, and anybody can do it. And my secret about, I'll give you one of my secrets here. I wait until like August or September, when the gardening season is over, and they put those nice ceramic pots and things at a half price, or they just, really put the price down, and that's when I do my buying. And I can get some, you can get a $20 pot for $10 or $9, $9.99. And, I cruise through the different stores, and I see what's available. So you see what works, see what my style is, and see how it all fit in with what we do. And, I'll buy 10 or maybe half a dozen, who knows. It's just see what's left, what's on sale, and go for that. Come September, October, August, the big spring fling is over, and not many people are in the market at that time, and they want to move their material, so it's an easy thing to do. Do we have you look like you're on antsy for a break or something.
You said the magic word.
My timing is impeccable. I can't believe it.
673-4464. If you want to talk to the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Back in a couple minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
The Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters.
Yes.
Another Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show is on your radio now. It'll be a podcast later at 541radio.com on that internet thing we keep telling you about.
Oh, is that on my flip phone?
Oh, boy.
No, apparently not. You're making fun of me now, I can tell.
You're one of like three people with a flip phone.
And we have a club. It's called the Flip Club.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so anyway, you got all these good pots and you want to put some plants in it. You want to put some vegetables in. Well, how do you prepare this stuff? Well, it's, you know, whatever kind of pot you use, you make sure that there are drain holes in the bottom or even in the sides. And if they're not large enough, you might have to drill some new holes, maybe even on the side of the pot a little, about halfway down or three quarters of the way down. So you got three or four drain holes so that when you do water it, the water doesn't just sit and build up inside the pot and drown the plant, okay? That's you don't want to get your plants waterlogged. They will drown and they will die. Okay. Secondly, use a good potting soil to enhance the drainage. And they've got several. You can get bags of compost. You can get bags of peat moss. You can get bags of bark mulch, or get a pickup load at Magnolia Farms or the co-op out there in the Wilbur area. And the better the mix, the better success you're going to have. And I know you've heard that 1,000 times. But when you mix it all together and you fill your pots with this stuff, you can plant anything in there and it's going to grow. It's not going to sit around. It's going to drain well. The roots are going to grow very quickly, and it'll be whatever you plant will be strong, and it's going to do well for you. And then you want to water enough to keep your plants moist, but again, not soaked. But if you drill those drain holes and make sure there's sufficient drainage in it, you're not going to have the overwatering problem. And the easiest way to do it, stick your finger in the soil. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's dry, water it, okay? That might be once every week, once every 4 days. It depends on the location, the sunlight, the temperature, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then fertilize. Fertilize, especially potted stuff, at least once a month. And that's a minimum with like a liquid fertilizer like Miracle-Gro or Fertilome. You can get them just about anywhere. And you mix a couple of tablespoons to a gallon of water and just water your plants in it. Now, at the nursery, we fertilize all of our flowers and these kinds of things, vegetable plants, at least once a week. And that seems about right with us. But healthy plants are better able to withstand attacks by fungus or bugs or whatever rolls off the plate there. And if they're good and healthy, and the same thing goes with trees, lawns, etc., anything that's growing, if it's properly watered and properly fertilized, it has strength. It's just like humans eating vitamins and proper meals and exercise. Like Kyle runs all over the county all the time. He's you know, like the human Superman of Douglas County here. But give them.
I'm not going to challenge that remark.
Okay, good. But you know, like I say, the healthier your plants are, the better they produce, the stronger they are against any attacks, and they're going to just do wonders for you. So don't hesitate to get some, like I say, Miracle-Gro or Fertilome or whatever brand you might like out there. Those are the two we use. Those are the two we like. Those are the two that show us the most results, the best results when we're, and that goes for hanging baskets, that goes for tomatoes, that goes for, you know, fir trees, for crying out loud. I mean, if that's what you have. But you can put any type of a flower or small shrub in a container and it's going to do well. The larger the pot, the better the plant will do, because it can that root system can spread, and as it spreads, it translates into larger and healthier top growth. And it depends on the type of plant you put in. But like at our house, for instance, my wife has potted azaleas surrounded with geraniums and marigolds and petunias. Because what I did years ago, we put rock all the way around our house, about a 10-foot wide rock area all around our house, so that we wouldn't track mud in and that kind of thing, and for good drainage, just good drainage and no standing water. Well, on that on that rock, we've graduated from wooden pots that they last 10 years about, but from wooden pots to plastic pots. And there are plastic pots, so I think we got ours at Bi-Mart years ago, that look like a half wine barrel, but it's not as large. It's fairly large, but not as big as a real wine barrel. But it looks like one, and it's got the plastic looks like wooden slats, etc. They're attractive. Anyway, we've got those along the side of our house, and like in one in the middle, there's a beautiful azalea in bloom, and then all around the edge of that, because there's a lot of room in it, some ground cover. Violas or petunias or, you know, anything that you like, geraniums. We have a riot of color in there. And you do the same thing with a vegetable plant. You put a vegetable plant with surrounded by a bunch of marigolds or petunias, you attract more pollinators to your plant, and as a consequence, you get better production. And whether it's a tomato or a potato or a green pepper, because there are more pollinators working the site because you've attracted them with color. And pots with multiple plants in them are very, very attractive. They stand out. They look good. One plant is fine, and if it's a nice plant, it's beautiful and it looks good, but it's a little barren. So when you decorate up the bottom of it with some very colorful, I love portulaca. Portulaca is good. Or ice plant. That's the purple or blue ice plant. I like to plant a lot of that because it grows and it blooms all summer long. It'll bloom till, oh gosh, it freezes. And what's cool about it, the little purple blooms, they open up when the sun comes out, and then when the sun goes down, they close up. So it's a constant motion, and it's loaded with little flowers. But you can mix up a lot of plants in one of those pots. And the bigger the pot, the more plants you can put in it. If you just want to do the small pots, you might not have the room except for one. But if it's got good soil, good drainage, you're good to go. And like I say, they're easy to pick up and move around. If you put it in one spot and you say, you know, I think I'd like that over here on the deck, or I'd like that there at the front porch, or I want to put that in the, you just pick it up and move it. Well, if it's planted in the yard, it's hard to, you know, transplant it and move it. You have to plant something else. I mean, there's less work involved with potted plants than there is with a full landscaped yard, which makes sense, I guess. But at any rate, once you start into this, you can also do small trees. And small trees will do well in pots for many years. Like many Japanese maples stay small naturally. There are dwarf Japanese maples that only get a foot to 18 inches tall by 18 inches wide. Well, they could be in a pot, a good sized pot for their entire lifespan. And in fact, I have some like in a 5 gallon. Oh, 5 gallon plant plastic pot. I've had one Japanese maple in there for, oh gosh, 15 years, and it's beautiful. And it's only about a foot tall, and it's about 3 feet wide. It's really cool. And I put a price on it that nobody would want to pay, so I always have it. That's my secret way of not selling stuff. But the Japanese maples, there's so many of them, even the ones that are upright. If you have an 18 to 20 inch pot that's, you know, that wide and that deep, you can put a regular sized Japanese maple tree in there, and it's good for, gosh, 10 years in that pot, as long as you, you know, feed it consistently, water it correctly, and have it in a good site. Again, decorate the front porch, the back patio with a whole slew of these potted flower pots, and for 6 or 8 months you have little landscape maintenance to do, and you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor and the color, etc., etc. Now, one other thing that has recently come to be noticed by a lot of folks are succulents. Succulents are kind of weird looking plants, and they're very easy to grow in a pot, and they always look good year round. The frost doesn't hurt them, the sun doesn't hurt them, drought doesn't hurt them, overwater does, but you know, they're just a tough plant, and they grow very, very slow. very slow, and they need minimal care. In fact, you can't tell when they're putting on new growth, except a month goes by and you go, wow, that looks a lot larger than it did last month. I guess it grew some, because it doesn't like put out branches and leaves. Depends on the type of succulents you get, but I'm talking about hens and chicks and things along those lines. They look like they're in the cactus family, and I think they are related to the cactus family somewhat. But they do well in full sun, and the heat, like I say, doesn't bother them. And, you know, you try something and you'd see how well they really do. And I use them in landscape jobs as well. I had a client out in the Melrose area that had a long, skinny planter along the side of his house, and he had these windows that came all the way down, oh gosh, almost to the ground, not quite, but this. So he could see his long, skinny planter, and we filled that with succulents of, three or four different types of succulents, plus some ice plant, and it's a very, very attractive planter, and it all takes the same care. And it gets afternoon sun because their house kind of almost faces the Callahans, but in the morning it's kind of shady, and in the afternoon they get their shot of sun, and they do well. And like I say, they don't take a whole lot of care. It's easy. So, you know, like back in the old days, redwood tubs were the rage. You know, there were many different sizes and shapes, and you could get a big giant one or a tiny one or a bonsai type or whatever, and you can still buy them. But the plastic pots are the big sellers nowadays for a whole variety of reasons, because they're attractive. They're long-lived. You can have all types of colors where the redwood pots are redwood. And you know, I liked them, but they only last about maybe 10 years, and then they begin to disintegrate, maybe 15, if it depends on what type of plants are in them and, you know, what kind of weather conditions they're in. Everything rots eventually except plastic.
Well, they would last longer if you didn't put water in them.
That's true, exactly, and if it didn't rain in Oregon. Yeah,
I know. That's problematic.
I know. It's a bummer. but the plastic ones, they make, you know, tiny ones, big ones, huge ones. They're like I say, they're really good. And the redwood pots, again, were only good for maybe 10 years, and then they began to decay, fall apart. And at the same time, the half wine barrels were selling well too. You know, you go to whatever, by Martin, they got all these old wine barrels sitting there that had been used for years, and they look sturdy, and they're well built, and they're heavy and all that. And you take them home. Well, I think I got 15 years out of one before the bottom fell out, and you know, I had to redo everything that was in it. So we just went to plastic. It was easier that way, and I know they last longer, and I'm not gonna have to repot the dumb things. Okay. But you got to also consider, when you're doing these potted container type gardens, you got to consider the tools you need for container gardening. It's like a small 12-inch shovel, 12 inches long, about 4 inches wide. That's all you need, and a plastic watering can, and you're good to go. You don't need a tiller. You don't need a rake. You don't need any of that stuff. Just a little tiny shovel, and when you pour the potting soil in it, you just pour it right out of the bag or right out of the wheelbarrow, and that's the most work you'll do. And then you do your gardening with your little tiny shovel. You know, I don't know. There's a special name for them. I can't even think of what it is, and I sell them. But it's easy. So you don't have a great expense in tools when you're doing this container gardening. And again, you can find these items at garage sales or thrift stores, and some of them, they're almost free. They practically give them away. You know, maybe you pay $9.95 for a brand new one and a buck for a used one. So there's plenty of secondhand stores around. There's plenty of garage sales around. Just go shopping. It's amazing what you find. And we'll be back.
All right, 436, Mike Wetter's Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464. If you have a question, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
News Radio 1240 KQEN. This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we've gathered once again at the feet of Mike Winters to hear his humble advice to benefit our lives, to make our world a better place.
Oh, God.
And then to enhance. What? Stop? Oh, stop.
Okay. Stop it. Jeez Louise.
It's sleep deprivation kicking in. I don't know. Mike Winters, we call him the commissioner of dirt.
And I don't know which one of you yahoos made that name up, but it came from
this. Oh, I can tell you.
Who?
Me.
Oh, you made it up?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no, the person who co-hosted with you back then, he knew that it was going to get slipped in there, and it was going to be like a 1 or 2 week thing, and then your reputation was made.
Well, I know, because the people that I meet in the street say, it's the commissioner of dirt. I've got a question here.
I was actually at a store a couple weeks ago, don't remember which one, was about 12 feet back in line with, the 6 foot spacing and all that, and someone, I have no idea who they were, and they're talking to the clerk, and they're mentioning something they'd gotten in. Well, that commissioner of dirt was on the radio earlier today, and he said, and I just stayed back there. I just listened in. That was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I know. I meet these people all the time, and they come in the nursery, and I'll meet them in Albertsons or somewhere else, and somehow, and I got a question. I got these rhododendrons, blah 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 blah, and so we just have a little confab right there while we're standing in line and get the problem solved.
Well, and that happens to me sometimes. Actually, going through, I'm often in the same store about 5 nights out of 7, and some of the store people who work there know what my job is.
Yeah.
And but there are other people in the community who maybe have met me once, and I've got, I get stopped occasionally for the hey, I want to ask you about that news story today and back when we used to have sports back in the dark ages.
Yeah.
How the Oregon Ducks were doing, or is it really going to be 90? Things like, so I actually get a lot
of. Well, you're usually wrong on the temperature and the weather.
I am not. Yeah, you are. Usually wrong.
The other day when it was quote 90 in town,
right?
It was 80 at my house.
Oh, it was not.
It was. That's the first thing I always do when you start saying, oh, it's going to be 200 degrees today. I go home and I go, oh, gee whiz, it's only got to 85 here. Amazing.
Oh, boy.
Where do they get their information from?
We get it from the official source.
Yeah, that's the problem, the official source. the governor's office. Anyway, I was talking about tools for your container gardening, and there was one thing I left out. Get a good pair of pruners, hand pruners. That way you can keep things snipped and keep them in shape. So, there's like 2 or 3 tools. That's all you have to buy. And like I say, no rototillers, no lawnmowers, no big shovels, no rakes, all that kind of stuff. It's good stuff. You're going to spend all your money on pots anyway. So now, the types of plants you choose is very important. You can get fast-growing large plants, tiny miniature ones, dwarf ones. But you want to make sure that you're prepared, and you want to make sure that you do your homework when you see a plant and say, that would really look nice in the container I have on the deck. And you have to take into consideration how large this plant is going to be. What is its growth habit? What does it do? Is it a 6-footer or a 2-footer? And do you know anything about pruning it? And are you afraid to prune for fear that you're going to kill the plant? Those are all questions that you need to run through. So the types of plants are very, very important so that you have everything in a balance, and that you don't plant stuff that, and that's the gist of all this. You plant these containers so you don't have a whole lot of work to do. You just enjoy these things. And if you get something that's so rambunctious that it grows a foot a week, you ain't going to enjoy it after a while. You're going to either prune it or yank it out of there and put it on the burn pile, one of the two, and get something else. And that's one way of getting an education in plant materials. But read about the plants. Look at the plants. You say, I like that. That looks good. Well, if you're in a real nursery where that's all we sell, you can ask us the questions like, hey, how big does this get? How fast does it grow? Can grow it in the shade? Can I grow it in the sun? Or is it a little bit of both? How often do I water? How often do I fertilize? What type of fertilizer do I use? We will answer all those questions for you. And then I'll ask you questions. I'll say, well, what are you going to do with this? Oh, I got a pot on the deck that I want to put this in, or I got six big containers that I want to put different plants in these six big containers on my patio, and I want to make sure that it's all compatible and it looks good and it works. Well, then I can direct you, or Jill, my daughter, can direct you, or my wife, Marianne, can direct you to what would be appropriate for your size pot. And you can say, well, is this big by this big, and I want it to bloom, or I want it to grow into kind of a low screen, or, you know, whatever your criteria is set up, we can direct you to the types of plants that would be appropriate for the particular vessel that you're going to plant it in. But let's put it this way. If you want a pine tree in a pot, really, you think, well, pine trees, well, you can try a dwarf, like a mugo pine, or a cypress of some sort, or a juniper. They're not going to get really large. They're going to grow slowly. They're easy to prune and keep shaped up in any shape you want them. They're very tough. They don't need constant care. So let's say you've got some dwarf mugos, or some juniper in some pots, and they're out in the back deck, and you want to go away for a long weekend. Well, water them before you go. Go for 3 or 4 or 5 days and come back, and they're still alive. Well, some plants you can't do that all the time with, but these tougher evergreen ones, you can do it. And because they don't, like I say, they don't need a lot of care. They're very, very tough. And they're easily shaped and pruned, and all it takes is an eye and say, what do I want that plant to look like? And then have that picture in your mind and attack the plant and make it look like that. It's using your imagination and some very good pruners and go for it. They're like I say, they're easy. You can create your own bonsai with a mugo pine. My very first bonsai I ever had was a mugo pine that had been run over by a semi and was almost crushed beyond repair. And I took it home and I nurtured it for a year or two, and it grew really, really well, and it was gnarled and malformed, perfect bonsai. And I planted it in a nice pot, and I had it for years and years and years till somebody stole it. Amazing. Because I had a high, I put a $125,000 price tag on it so nobody would buy it. Well, somebody stole it. I don't know why they did that, but they left the pot and took the plant onto the pot. At any rate, you can create your own bonsai. Bonsai is just miniature, keeping a plant small. Keeping it small and pruned and creative branching and those kinds of things. And it's much easier if you got on your internet or got a book on bonsai and looked at what bonsai was. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's better. The picture of a bonsai is better than 1,000 words than I can say and talk about. But it's my hobby. I do it. I've got literally hundreds in the process, but I've got about 35 finished bonsai, if you will, that I've been working on for years and years and years, and I got another 50 or 60 in the process, and then I got another 1,000 that are going to be, sometime in the future. Who knows? I mean, if I live that long, they might turn into bonsai. But a bonsai pot is a small, shallow pot. And because you want to slow down the growth process, you want to miniaturize the tree or shrub that you're doing the bonsai on. And they're a whole unique kind of critter. You need to have somebody teach you, or you have to teach yourself and look at what bonsai are and what they do and the history of bonsai, so that you can understand it. It's a work of art in the plant world, if you will. That's about the best way I can put it. But they can stay in a small pot for at least 20 years with care and attention. And then after about 20 years, you might have to put them in a slightly larger pot or take them out and prune the roots again and put it back and do it all over again. Another conifer would be a dwarf Hinoki cypress. They grow extremely slow and can live in the same container for many, many years. And they're easy to prune, they're easy to shape, and they make a statement in on your back wall and your patio, etc. And, you know, you can prune them into a very small, exotic tree, and your guests, your company will come over and think you're the master of the plant world with your special plants. You know, some people go, gosh, how did you do that? It is so cool. And I think, well, first one I ever did was run over by a semi, and I just played with it until it looked good. And so, you know, you just kind of learn as you go, and you can't be afraid to prune. And the more you prune, the cooler they get, and the more gnarled looking they are, the more valuable they are. But I don't do it to sell them. I do it because it's my hobby. It's my passion, if you will, with plants. We got a break?
Well, wouldn't the proper response when somebody looks at something and is stunned there would be to say, well, I got this idea listening to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah.
I just saying. 450, final segment with the Commissioner of Dirt. When we come back, 673-4464, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team is ahead. Dave Ramsey at 5, Jim Bohannon at 7, Coast to Coast at 10. Keep your radio here. All the information you hear in our news segments at 541radio.com, the 541 Radio app, and the KQEN Facebook page, always there 7 days a week. This guy here is your one day a week. Mike Winters.
Only one, thankfully.
With 6.5 minutes to go of this week's award-winning Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, and I got, you know, two weeks worth of shows here in my hand anyway. I was talking about bonsai and in the last segment, and, you know, you can do this with any dwarf conifer in a pot. You can bonsai it. I've got a bonsai apple tree that I put in a pot 15 years ago just because it was kind of bent over and ugly and nobody was buying it. So I put it in there and I watched it, and then I pruned it way back to about a foot tall. It was about 4 feet tall, and I pruned it back to about a foot tall, maybe less than that, and then many branches came out of it, and then I pruned it again, and it's got a big stem on it, and I haven't really done any artistic work on it, but it's got about 25 branches, and all of them had little small apples on it, and my intent is to bonsai that thing. I just haven't gotten around to it. It's still, a quote, in training. So you can do it with fruit trees. You can actually bonsai a fruit tree, and you know, it's doable. You got to be patient, and you got to know what you're doing to get it to where you want it to go. But it's a fun thing. And then skipping the bonsai part and going back to the container plant stuff, I wanted to give you some ideas of some easy plants to do. Ornamental grasses in a pot really look good, especially if they're the type that grow, you know, 2 or 3 feet tall, maybe 4 feet tall, maximum. They really do good in a pot. They're easy. They're an easy plant, and they're very decorative. They come in a multitude of colors. Also, there's dwarf rhododendrons. Dwarf rhododendrons do well. Azaleas do well. And then, you know, of course, we've been talking vegetables and all that, but you can have all these other things in these pots that actually work. And like I said, the apple tree thing, you try an apple tree, see what happens. Keep pruning it until something happens. Either it dies or looks like a bonsai that's 1,000 years old. It doesn't matter. But any fruit tree will do well in a pot with regular watering and fertilizer. But you want to start with something that's a dwarf type tree or a semi-dwarf. If you get a standard apple tree, it's going to be a battle. You're going to be pruning a lot of it a lot of the time. But a true dwarf, excuse me, only supposed to get about 8 feet tall. Well, I've seen true dwarfs get taller than 8 feet, but their genetic makeup is for slow growth, for small growth, and they're a whole lot easier to turn into a patio tree and be productive all at the same time. When you've got these nice pot out there and there's an apple or a cherry or a pear, Asian pear in the tree, and people are amazed that, well, that small tree is producing all that fruit. Yeah, it's happening. You can take a dwarf tree, plant it in the ground where it can really fully develop, keep the tree at 5 feet tall, and it'll grow maybe 6-7 feet wide and have bushels of apples that come off of it. So it's a doable deal. You got to be patient, 50-60 years, and you'll have your deal all ready to go. A good showy shrub, if you wanted one in a pot, would be a miniature rose. I like miniature roses because better than regular standard tea roses and things like that, because these miniature roses, they bloom on an average of about 9 months. They start very early in the spring, and they'll bloom till Christmas if it doesn't snow on them. And even when it snows on them, I still see blooms. But they really do well. Again, tough plant. They love the sun. They love the warmth of summer. Just make sure they stay moist. And again, not soaked, just moist. And the colors, it's amazing the variety of color. And they're very easy to grow. It's you can have the blackest thumb in the world and grow a beautiful mini rose. And and I was doing some research. I saw a photo of some giant sunflowers planted in 2 gallon buckets, and these plants were 6 to 7 feet tall and in full bloom, and this person had them on their deck using it as a screen from their neighbor. And it was just kind of a cool shot. I'd never thought that a sunflower in a small bucket could grow 7 feet. I know they do in the field. I know they do in a regular garden where they got plenty of room. But in a small bucket, I was very impressed. I'm going to try it this year. Dwarf citrus. How much time I got?
About a minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Okay. Dwarf citrus, like lemons and limes, they make perfect patio trees. You want to have them maybe on a kind of a dolly that has wheels, so that if you have it in a larger pot, when it gets cold, you can slide it into some protective area like the living room or the garage or something like that. But they love it outside from spring to fall, say from 1st of April to the middle of October, or maybe the 1st of November, depending on the weather. You got to play the weather by ear. But they produce good fruit. They produced good limes, good lemons. My mama tree that I had years ago, a friend of mine gave to me, would produce about a shopping bag full of lemons every year from one little tree. And the tree was only about 3 feet tall. Maybe 3.5 feet tall and about 3.5 feet wide. And it has so many lemons on it that the branches were bending over all the time. But, it was loaded. And in the spring when they're blooming, you can hardly stand the fragrance. They're so beautiful and so perfumey, I guess would be, if that's a word. Is that a word?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, what the heck? If you're not sure, I'm not sure, so who cares? But, dwarf citrus, like I say, is good. And I can continue with this next week because I got many, many more things I want to share with you. Thank you for listening.
Where do people find you?
South of Winston, about a half a mile off over the South Umpqua River. And we have big green roofs everywhere. We got beautiful plants everywhere. And we got miniature roses blooming all along the road. Can't miss us.
Mike Winter is back next week on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Stand by for the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team. It is 5 o'clock.